This is MLB.com Extras, Cincinnati Reds edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Phil Rogers, and discussing a Reds team that, one way or another, injuries have really been the story of the season in Brian Price's first season. They open the year with 8 guys on the DL, get off to a slow start, 6 games under 500 as late as May 29th, but start to get healthy, start to put things together, and then just before the break, another run of injuries with Joey Votto going on the DL with a quad injury, and Brandon Phillips with a thumb injury that will cost him 6 weeks. Even a scary moment for Homer Bailey, although that did not turn out to be too bad. We had to pull out of a start early, so just a little bit of a snake-bitten situation there with the Reds, huh, Phil?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going back, just coming out of spring training, they have the horrific Aroldis Chapman line drive, keeps him out until early May. Actually, amazing comeback by him. And you know, early in the season, also Matt Latos, who's at least one of their twin aces, you know, on the DL, just got him back up and going in late June. Things seem to be perking along, and then all of a sudden, Brandon Phillips lunges for a ball and lands the wrong way. Gonna miss a long stretch in the second half. But let's bring Mark Sheldon, Reds MLB.com reporter, on. Mark, thanks for joining us. And what would you say the outlook is after the break? Kind of just trying to bide time, sustain while they wait to get these guys back.
Yeah, it's been like you said, a tough year in the sense of every time they seem to get something together, some injuries happen and kind of test them some more. The break really couldn't come soon enough for a team that's been on a roll. They could use the rest. They could use the opportunity to regroup, and I think they're going to have to. This second half is going to be trying to figure out how to overcome the losses of the right side of their infield with Votto and Phillips. With Phillips, it's a little easier to see what they can do. They can plug in Skip Schumacher at second base, and he's been very productive, you know, as a reserve outfielder and platooning in left field and somewhat in right field lately. And I think he can kind of keep that going. But what they're going to do at first base, they'll have to rely on a hodgepodge with like Brian Peña, Todd Frazier, and even Jay Bruce to get by unless they make a trade.
On that note, Mark, with the trade situation, do you foresee extra aggression in light of these injuries, or what do you perceive as far as Walt Jocketty goes coming up with the deadline?
I think they could use some bullpen help on the front end. That's been one area that's been really been having a trouble with. But as far as dealing with these injuries, I think a lot is going to depend on how long they think they're going to be without Votto, and that's been kind of a gray area. We know enough that it's not going to be just 15 days in the disabled list, that it's going to be a little bit longer in order to get him back, because the first time he was out a month, it wasn't long enough. It turned out to be he was not close to 100%. But as always, it depends on what they're willing to give up and what they can get. I don't know if there's a corner first, you know, corner infielder off the bench type guy or a first baseman available, but that might be what they need.
You never want to see anybody get hurt, but at the same time, the same day that Phillips goes out, Yadier Molina goes out. The Brewers not playing all that well going into the All-Star break. I mean, it just seems like even though everything has gone wrong for the Reds, it's still anybody's division, including the Reds.
It really is. It's a four-way fight right now. It's hard to handicap because everyone's doing different things. The Cardinals have been, like you said, snake-bitten with injuries as well, with Molina going out and their rotation's been chewed up, and the Brewers weren't going to play 600 baseball all year, and the Pirates are kind of still hanging in there. It's been interesting to watch them, too, because they haven't had, much of a – you know, they started off kind of slow, and then their rotation isn't exactly a bunch of named guys. So it's interesting. I think the Reds are the best position for the second half, maybe, of those four teams, just because the rotation is so good, with not only having Latos back at full strength, and, of course, Johnny Cueto. You also have Alfredo Simon, who's been pitching well, and assuming that Homer Bailey – that that strained knee that bothered him in his last start doesn't come back to haunt him in the second half. It sounds like he'll be able to make his next start. So those guys can do it. They're in really good shape to have a good second half run.
I've got a suggestion for Mr. Jocketty, which is let him more. I don't know if he's going to end his career this year, but bring back Adam Dunn. I think the White Sox will make Dunn available. He's played actually a lot of first. I don't think he'd be a 6 or 7 day a week guy, but, you know, definitely that veteran bat. And, you know, he's pretty much still the same guy. He doesn't hit for as high an average, but, he, you know, he is, keeps his on base up with the walks. I just kind of wonder if Dunn could wind up being in the mix at the trade deadline. But what about the rotation? I mean, it seems like Alfredo Simon was so huge for them coming out with Latos missing a lot of time in the first half, you know, and a vintage kind of first half from Johnny Cueto. But can Alfredo Simon keep it up after the break?
I think so. He doesn't seem to be affected by the fact that he's going to be crossing into his innings peak of his career. He's more of a veteran guy. It's not like he's a kid that's never worked a lot of innings before. He clearly doesn't seem to be overmatched by being a starter and working into the seventh and eighth innings. So I think he can keep it up. He's got a good mixture of pitches. When his sinker's not working, he can go to some other pitches. He's got a very funky, almost Ethos-like pitch that he's been baffling hitters with. It gets down to 68, 69 miles an hour. So I think he's got what it takes to be able to carry this into the second half. In the other words, you know, Johnny Cueto, of course, has been healthy and strong and pitching really well. And Homer Bailey, who started out pretty poorly in April, maybe the effects of a groin injury in spring training, he's come on pretty strong. And Mike Leake has been consistent for the most part. So I like what they have going on with the rotation. Unlike some other teams that maybe, like the Pirates, that are kind of putting together a no-name rotation, the Cardinals have a lot of injuries to their rotation. The Reds seem really pretty well positioned within the division to have this rotation finish strong.
Yeah, and their steadiness from that rotation has really been underrated the last few years. And, you know, hopefully people are starting to catch a little more wind of that when you see what Cueto is doing and having Latos back is obviously a key for them. But, you know, one guy you worried was maybe, I won't say overrated, but maybe overhyped just because there was so much attention placed on him going into the year was Billy Hamilton, who Phil mentioned earlier. And, you know, everybody knows about the speed tool. It's one of the best this generation has ever seen, but you got to get on base to take advantage of it. And now you look at what he's done month by month from an OBP standpoint. It's grown every month after a tough start. And Mark, I'd have to imagine just watching him develop has to be one of the joys of your job. How do you describe what you've seen from him as the season has gone along?
It's a lot of fun. It's rare to be able to watch a player and not only know what he might do on any given day, but that he might do something you haven't seen before, whether it's trying to score on an infield sacrifice fly like he did in St. Louis back in April, whether it's what he kind of did the other night with a broken bat walk-off single to win the game, and he's been driving in runs, which is not normal for him as a leadoff guy, but he's been doing that, and his defense has been spectacular. He's only been playing the outfield professionally for a little under two seasons now, maybe more like a season and a half, and he's one of the best defensive center fielders in baseball, even, you know, by the sabermetric standards. He's been able to cover a lot of ground. He makes a lot of nice catches. He makes a lot of hard catches look easy. And then, of course, on the bases, he's still on base, but he takes a lot of risks sometimes, and he pays for it. It doesn't always work out. He does get caught, but for the most part, the risks that the team doesn't mind him taking in the big picture because it does eventually lead to run scoring. But he's seemingly one of the leading, if not the leading, candidate to be Rookie of the Year this year for the National League.
Now, Brian Price told me that, talking about Hamilton, that he creates a certain panic in the opposition and the fielders and the opposing pitchers, and just basically freaking out. And it struck me as a strong word for a manager to say panic, but that must be fun to watch on a nightly basis, how teams try to adjust to him and handle him and, you know, speed up and really change to try to keep up with him.
It is. You see it even on little plays, like about a month ago or so in Pittsburgh, he hit essentially what would have been a routine single for anyone else into center field. And Andrew McCutchen, of course, who's a very accomplished center fielder, booted the ball trying to rush a throw, and Hamilton got the second on the play. And it was just to watch things like that happen, where guys rush throws a little bit more, where pitchers maybe they have to slide step a little bit, you know, to rush their throws to the plate so they don't have to, you know, give up the stolen bases easily. It's been watching the little things about him has been great. It's just he affects the game clearly, and now as a hitter, that watching him mature and not being over-challenged and things like two strike counts and other things like that, he seems to be getting it more as a hitter. He says, at first he wasn't really in a rhythm. He was really affected by Adam Wainwright and the Cardinals in the opening series. He started out 0-for-12 with a lot of strikeouts, and it got in his head, and he says slowly but surely he's been able to take a better approach, and now he's seen the league for a second time, maybe a third time around in the Central. He's understanding more what's being done to him, and he's handling it all very well.
Who's been more impressive, watching him or watching how Aroldis Chapman bounced back from that horrible line drive that he took above his left eye in spring training?
Yeah, I was there for that. That was horrific, of course, and it was tough to watch. But I would. It's really a tie because I had expectations that both would be doing well this year. I didn't think Chapman was not going to be a factor because he seemed so unaffected by everything once he got through the initial start of it. He never seemed to be having those yips or concerns about being hit again. And what's made Chapman fun to watch this year is not that he has the triple digit velocity, which he always has, but now he's got a really effective second and third pitch with his slider and a changeup. And the changeup has been really baffling hitters this season because right after they get maybe 102 miles an hour in a fastball, they're getting a 90 mile an hour changeup. I mean, how many people throw 90 mile an hour changeups? And he's doing it, and it's crossing him up, and his fastball percentages this year have been lower than it has been over his previous 4 years. And a lot of that's because those two other pitches are really effective, and he's really as good as I've seen him ever in his career. And I've seen him really good.
Mark, how has Mesoraco grown? We see what he does offensively, but from the standpoint of handling the pitching staff and that sort of thing, they really gave him the keys to that role this year when they traded Ryan Hannigan. And I know he's had a couple little injury situations this year, but when he's been healthy, he's been so productive. And how about defensively? How does he impact the game?
He's getting better. He's not a finished product by any stretch, but he's really made improvements. You kind of saw it last season. He caught more games than Hannigan because Hannigan was hurt. So he kind of stepped in and started catching more pitchers. He was kind of at first more of a personal catcher to guys like Mike Leake or someone like that. But now he's kind of gotten more comfortable with other pitchers. He's not working with Cueto as much. That's been more Pena. But he did seem to have a pretty good rapport with the other pitchers. He's done better at things like blocking and trying to throw guys out. He's still he's not satisfied, but I think eventually, this is only his third full season, he's getting there. And I think it's been good to watch, and his hitting is really just taking off, partly for some adjustments he's made with the hitting coach Don Long, and also just been playing a lot more. So I think it's you're really seeing kind of a lot of things come together, most of it because he's playing a lot.
Well, I think that probably wraps us up on this edition of MLB.com Extras. This is Phil Rogers and Anthony Kasowitz thanking Mark Shelton for helping us out talking about the Cincinnati Reds.